हरिः
सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सनिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 12. Sukadev Goswami continued. Not far away from their residential quarters, both Krishna and Balaram, equipped with all kinds of playthings, played with the other cowherd boys, began to tend the small calves. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram would play on their flutes. Sometimes they would throw ropes and stones devised for getting fruits from the trees. Sometimes they would throw only stones, and sometimes their ankle bells tingling. They would play football with fruits like bale and amlaki. Sometimes they would cover themselves with blankets and imitate cows and bulls and fight with one another, roaring loudly, and sometimes they would imitate the voices of the animals. In this way they enjoyed sporting, exactly like two ordinary human children. Footnote 3. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 37 through 40 to Bhagava Akramrichimala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love. The unlimited dimensions of rasa, siddha prema rasa, rasa garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. And so, this playing like ordinary children, and that gives great pleasure to Krishna, right? Because it's not something he needs to do, right? It's something he does for fun, right? So what is the fun? The fun is interacting with the other boys. The interaction, the rasa that's gained from that interaction, that's what's important to him. Right? So that's why then it's in this section. Srila Prabhupada comments, Vrindavan is full of peacocks. Kujat, Kokila, Hamsa, Sarasa, Gana, Kirne, Mayur, Rakule. The Vrindavan forest is always full of cuckoos, ducks, swans, peacocks, cranes, and also monkeys, bulls and cows. So Krishna and Balaram used to imitate the sounds of these animals and enjoy sporting. Verses 41 to 45. Sri Krishna slays Vatsasura. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, One day while Rama and Krishna, along with their playmates, were tending the calves on the bank of the river Jamuna. Another demon arrived there, desiring to kill them. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead saw that the demon had assumed the form of a calf and entered among the groups of other calves, he pointed out to Balaram, Here is another demon. Then he very slowly approached the demon, as if he did not understand the demon's attentions. Srila Prabhupada comments, The import of the words Mugda, Eva, is that although Krishna knows everything, here he pretended he did not understand why the demon had entered among the calves, and he informed Baladev by a sign. Because the Mugda is the aspect where you don't actually understand what's going on. It's just what's happening, you go along with that. Right? So, out of love, then Krishna is in that mood of Mugda. Right? And so that's what you see. In Vrindavan, he doesn't have that mood of he knows everything. Though he does. But it's because of the love of the devotees, he just goes along with that mood. And so that's why when he's in that mood, that's the element, that is the prayojana that is mentioned here. That he's always absorbed in that because of that mood. But we see in Dwarka, Vaikuntha, especially in the material world, then he's fully aware, sarvajna, of everything. Right? So this mugda aspect But here, he's playing as if he's Mukta. He knows it's a demon, but he's playing as if he's just going and moving how cowboys will move through the crowd of the calves. And the calf won't, I mean, the demon won't actually mind that he gets close to him, because then he has the chance to kill him. But because it looks like he doesn't know, then the demon is in for a bit of a surprise. Right? You know, so that's the...
Okay.
So can we say that Mukta aspect is only fully manifested in Vrindavan?
Yes. Means you'll have it now and again. Means in Vaikuntha you'll never have it. Right? Means there may be, in his own private moments, there may be that aspect, but technically that it's not the mood of the devotees. It's that he is Sarvajna, that's why they're worshipping him. And in Vaikuntha, as we see, they go back, in Dwarka, they go back and forth. Right? You see that sometimes then they are in that mood of just devotion, and that means that just parental love or friendship or any of these rasas higher than dasya, right? And then sometimes they're not. They understand he's the supreme lord and all that, so they take that mood of dasya or shanta, like this. Does that make sense? So they may go back and forth. So you'll kind of have the mix of both. So when you have a mix, then you can't have that in much intensity. Right? Let's say I'm making something that's sweet, like a chutney. Okay? So chutney has salt in it. Right? So the amount of sweet I'll put will be less than if it's actually sweet with no salt. Right? Does that make sense? Or I have a salty preparation. I may put a little sugar to balance the flavors and all that, but it won't taste sweet. It'll just make it nice. You know, so that touch of sweetness, in like in Vaikuntha, it's Aishwarya, but there's that touch of sweetness that just makes the Aishwarya nicer. You know, does that make sense? You have the lemon drink and this and that, it's sweet, but you just put that touch of sugar, salt, just brings out that. You understand? So that's the whole point, is that the sweetness that's there in Vaikuntha is just, it brings out the greatness. And in Vaikuntha, in Dwarka, then it'll be kind of in between. Right? It'll be a little bit more sweet, a little bit more salt, like this. But in Vrindavan, it's just that sweetness. So the intensity of it is much, much greater. So, Sri Sukadev Goswami continued. Right, so he informed Baladev by a sign. So he said, here's another demon. He pointed out to Baladev. So it means through a sign he showed, you know, okay, here's another one. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued. Thereafter, Sri Krishna caught the demon by the hind legs and tail, twirled the demon's whole body very strongly until the demon was dead, and threw him into the top of a Kapita tree, which then fell down, along with the body of the demon, who assumed a great form. Right? So he was there as a calf, swinging around, but after he died, then when he threw him up in the tree, he turned back into his natural form. And then, because if you throw a calf into a tree, generally you don't expect the tree to fall down. Of course, Krishna throwing it could fall down, right? Because otherwise, how do you pull down Arjuna trees with just a wooden mortar, right, and a regular rope? But then the demon turned into his regular form, so then that makes it even more, more fun, more entertaining, right? You know, it's more happening. Srila Prabhupada comments, Krishna...
Footnote.
4. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura's signs 41-43 to Bhagavad Arkamichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, The Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima. Right, so this is that, why is he doing this? He's doing this to please his friends. Otherwise, why do it in this way? Right? You know, you spin them around, you toss them into the tree, they take a big form, the tree falls over. That's all good, clean fun for the boys, right? So that's it. Yeah, you had something.
Before I wanted to ask, Is Krishna pretending that he doesn't know all this, or
is means in this Maya? Case, in this case he is. But in the other case, it's just Yoga Maya arranges it. He just goes along with it. But the point is, he's in control of Yoga Maya, but his control is so that Yoga Maya then will present things and he'll just accept those as they come. Because the point is, it's about the taste of it. It's not that he can't know, it's just that he's interested in the taste. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let us say, you have a connoisseur of good food. They can take a taste and just appreciate the flavors that are there, just that combination, just the effect of the flavor as one thing. Right? At the next moment, they can tell you exactly what are all the ingredients in it and how you cooked it. Right? But it's two different moods. Not that you can't do the other one, it's just that this is the preferred one, so therefore he's doing it. See, is the anxiety that comes up, that why we're always worried if he knows everything or not, is that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out, is that we're offering prayers to Krishna. So if he's mukdata and simply absorbed in the pastimes, then will he hear our prayers?
Maybe. Right?
But he hears the prayers. But the point is he's busy with this. His point is, Singh being the Supreme, he can be busy with this and still know everything. But the focus is on that interaction with the devotees. That's what he does. Does that make sense?
You know, he wants our prayers.
Sorry?
He wants our prayers. He relishes our prayers.
Yes, that's there. The point is that he's absorbed in these pastimes doesn't mean that all other things can't go on simultaneously. That's why he's God and we're not. Right? So that's the thing. We can only do one thing at once. Right? The mind can only function on one thing at once. As energy, the mind can only function on one thing at a time. You know? So that's the problem. But Krishna, being unlimited in everything, then he can focus on everything at once. And it's not a confusion or anything for him. And where he wants to put the major attention, he can. Does that make sense? You know, so, therefore, let's say you have all these big, big, high-level people, right? And they're sitting and talking and this and that. And you know, or standing around, but while that's going on, let's say that the main big guy there, you know, who is absorbed in who's what, who's thinking what, who feels what, who wants what, all that kind of thing is all there and balanced and going on, and the etiquette's there. At that time, let's say his grandchild runs in. Right? He'll give that attention to the grandchild, but it's not that he doesn't know everybody else is there, but just the focus goes on the grandchild. Right? But in such a way that everybody else is cool. There's not that he's going to swing the grandchild around and knock all these other guys over. So that's the whole thing, is he can do that. We have a doubt because we can't. Right? But that's the whole point. He can do that. So we never have to be in anxiety. Srila Prabhupada comments. Krishna killed the demon in such a way as to get the kapita fruits to fall so that he and Balaram and the other boys could take advantage of the opportunity to eat them, right? Because you see before, they would throw rocks at trees, they'd put tie rocks, strings on them so they could throw it out and catch it and bring it down, or just throw the rock straight, or you know, whatever it would take. So here, then, that's why he was doing. That's why we're saying it's in here. He's seeing an opportunity. Okay, we want the fruits off of that tree, and there's so many and so many boys. So if he throws the demon up there, the whole tree will fall over, and that, and then the tree being down on the ground, very easy for the boys to pick the fruits. Right?
That's Prayojana. Can we say that's actually, Prayojana in
Dham? The Prayojana means is that taste between the So, see, is when Krishna is acting in any of his moods, it's not that, it's not prayojana.
But I was saying that this is more specific prayojana, because he wanted his friends to taste those fruits, so he took this opportunity to use this.
Yes. But the point is it's the interaction with Krishna and the devotees that's the prayojana. Right? So, doing something to that so what pleases Krishna? See, Krishna just being pleased, that will be him as Atmarama. But it doesn't give as much pleasure as when he's pleasing himself by pleasing the devotees. Okay? So that's the whole aspect that comes out. Is that then that interaction of the devotees. Krishna then, if he breaks the pot and things like that, or he comes up and grabs Mother Jashoda's sari and grabs the churning rod to try to stuff, then what's it about? Mother Jashoda. So even he breaks the pot and runs off, then what does that give an opportunity for?
To
chase him, to chastise him, to, you understand? So that's the thing. When the rope is put around and it's two fingers too short, it gives an opportunity for what? Yeah. So that's the point, is there's all these various aspects. That's why he's saying the unlimited dimensions of rasa. Right? It's not just very specific things like that. It's just his pleasure is interacting with the devotees. So whether you see it that it's more just him at the time doing something, and then you think, oh, it's just about pleasing himself. But no, that pleasure of himself at that time when he's alone is for everybody else. Like Krishna may be alone playing his flute, but what's he playing on the flute, right? He's calling the cows, he's calling the gopis, he's like this. It's always about the interaction. So the unlimited dimensions of how he's doing that, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out the major ones. Because if you get into too many of them, it'll be too fine, we can't see it. Right? That's why then, depending upon the timing and the qualification of the individuals, then you give breakdowns according to what can be appreciated. Right? So just like the standard Dasa Mool has only 10 divisions. Right? But that's 10 divisions of three things. Sambandhabhideyam Prayojana. Right? But now, when one understands more, so the Sambandha aspect is generally, that's something more available to everyone. But then, as we expand that, as we go into Bhagavatam, where we can appreciate more the finities, then he expands that into 20. Right? But the Sambandha aspect remains exactly the same. Right? In Dasa Mool, it's 7 points. But in the 20 points, that's at 7 out of 10. But in 20 points, it's still only 7. So what did he increase? He increased the appreciation of Praman, or the Shastras, and appreciation of the process and appreciation of the result. Otherwise, in the standard, in the core Dasa Mool, then Sambandha is 7 points, and the Shastra, Abhideya, and Prayojana is only 1 each. But as one can appreciate more, they're expanded a little bit more. They could go on unlimitedly, but that's beyond, just like the qualities of Krishna. It's unlimited, but 64 we can relate to. When it goes beyond that, it becomes, we can't tell the difference. Even as the 64, there might be, well, what's the difference between this and that? Intelligent and cleverness, or this, and, but so it's just enough that one can appreciate and work with. Because when one comes to that liberated platform, then there is no conditioning to get in the way of understanding finities. Because it's our conditioning that's limited in what it can appreciate. Right? So when we go beyond the conditioning, then we can appreciate more. Is that sense? So yeah. So this whole idea of these different things, know it that the core aspect will be the love between Krishna and the devotees. But now, whether it's focused more on the devotees, more focused more on Krishna, focused more on a specific, you know, who he's attracting them, he's interacting with them. It's just that feelings that they feel towards each other, right? So this would be Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan, like this. So it can be any of these three, because the point is because it's about Krishna, it is prayojana. Right, because so we may say, oh, but no, but that's a sambandha aspect or something like that. He's just attracting, so that's Madan Mohan, that's sambandha. Why is it as prayojana? Then we have to remember that Krishna is the Lord of threes. Then prayojana has three parts, right? It means the sambandha part, the abhideya part, and the prayojana. So that means you can have sambandha prayojana, abhideya prayojana, prayojana prayojana. And if you want to go further, you can divide each of those into three, but we won't at this point. Right? We're already trying to just figure out sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana, let alone, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So in this way, there's three, but then there's nine. That's a basis. And then when you go further than that, you can go into 81. Right? So just depending upon what you're dealing with. So the qualification of the individuals in that. Right? So like, yes, does that make sense? So like Madhvacharya was giving translations of all the names of the Lord in Vishnu Sahasranam. You know, different angles. So then he was going through that, and he would go from name one up to 1,000, then he'd go back and do it again, then again, and then again. When he got to, I think, 41, I think it is. Anybody knows this one?
64. Huh? 64.
You sure? Maybe. So 64 or 40, something in there. There was a 4 involved, like that. So, but many. So he was planned was to do 108. That was what he was going to do. And that's just, you know, picking a number. That's a nice, auspicious number. You could go on more than that, but he was going to do 108. But at less than that, you know, basically half of that, that is where the devotees just said, that's it. Our brain's going to explode. We can't handle anymore. So then that stops. So you see that occasion. Or with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then someone complained, oh, you just have this, you know, kind of simplistic kind of approach. It just means this and that's it. While we as scholars, we, you know. So therefore, he took the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and spoke on it for 90 days, each day a different point. Right? And he would pick the more obviously different points. But you only hear him doing it once. So the acharyas show it can be done. Right? But then there's how much we can handle. You know, Srila Prabhupada then with the nectar devotion classes in Vrindavan, right? Going through all those things, the different aspects. So that's the point, is that they can go through so much, but there's only a certain amount that we can handle. So therefore then it's given in that much. It's that, you know.
Another point, that when we say that Krishna is Sarvajna, mm-hmm. Can we say that's his aspect of Atmarama?
Not necessarily Atmarama, because as Atmarama, what's the need to know? He knows everything, but what's the need to? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, it's basically, you see, Atmarama is his experience where he just is aware of himself. Right? And then when he's aware of the devotees and their relationship, then that has the aspect of rasa. But you could say, is yes, that aspect of him, that could expand as paramatma, as Brahman. Okay. But I wouldn't go to say that in sarvig, I mean in Atmarama, that's where he's sarvig. Yeah, that's the taste. Because it hasn't been mentioned like that, so... So. Yeah. Okay. Krishna killed the demon in such a way as to get the kapita fruits so to fall, so that he and Balaram and the other boys could take advantage of the opportunity to eat them, right? So he and Balaram, right? Because Balaram's the senior of the cowherd boys, right? The cowherd boys are following Balaram. right? Then who's following Krishna? So that way then they're all following Krishna. But he's actually the head of the rasa, just like all the senior gopis, they're all following Mother Jashoda, who's then serving Krishna. So they're all serving Krishna, but through her. Does that make sense? So they all go through Balaram. The kapita is sometimes called Kshat Belphala. The pulp of this fruit is very palatable. It is sweet and sour, and everyone likes it. Kshat Belphala. In his Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, Vatsasura, the calf demon, represents a childish mentality, mischievous and too easily influenced by bad association. It gives rise to a type of greediness for sense gratification, through which one becomes absorbed in materialism. So because of this childish mentality and, you know, trying to be mischievous, whatever he's supposed to do, not wanting to do it, you know, this whole thing is, oh, why do we have to do all these things? So that's, it means, yes. Does that make sense? So because of that, then one's easily influenced by bad association. That's the main weakness of the neophyte. Right? For the Madhyama, then he's making that distinction. That's what's clear. That's what makes him a Madhyama, is that he distinguishes between the Lord, the senior devotees, the equals, the innocent, and the non-devotees. He makes all that distinction. But the neophyte can, because of this childish mentality, not do that. Right? So that's the weakness. Because it's sometimes the question is asked, why is that you see neophyte devotee? Then they're following all the rules and regulations, they do everything nicely, but you don't necessarily see that they advance nicely. Someone does, someone doesn't. Why would that happen? So the answer is given that the problem is for those who are not, they're kind of equalizing or giving more importance to the non-devotees than to the devotees. Right? You know, we've all heard the thing is, oh, but the non-devotees are so nice, or, you know, the non-devotees, they're so practical, or so, successful, or all these different things where we attribute great qualities to the non-devotees. Right? Madhyamas won't do that. They'll say, okay, they have a technique here, that's there, but where's the technique coming from? It's Krishna, it's not them. Just Krishna's revealing. So Krishna wants you to know it's coming through this person. What does it matter? You know? Like sometimes on Sankirtana, I've heard devotees, Sankirtana devotees talk about, they'll be doing something and it's not going well. And out of middle of nowhere, some karmi will walk up to them. Generally it always seems to be some kind of elder lady. I'm not sure why, but it's always that. They walk up and just out of nowhere, just tell them something and then go away. Okay? So it's not that, oh, now this old lady is a spec. No, just Krishna's arranged. So somebody's doing something, Krishna made you aware of it, then you gain from there. So it's by Krishna's grace. Right? So that's but the neophyte will think, no, this person is special, this person has all these great qualities, this person is somebody to follow. And because being materialistic, they're going to be into karma or gyan, right? They're going to be mayavadis or gross materialists or both, you know? Like that, you know? If you're real successful, then you have to catch all categories, right? So, then, because of that, that slows down their devotional service. So that's the real reason. If somebody's asking, no, I've been chanting this, you know, for so many years, why nothing's happening? This is the answer. Because the holy name is so powerful, it can remove everything. We're thinking, no, but how will it bring us to that thing? It's so things to get removed from all material desire. We were talking yesterday, anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana karmadhyanabritam, right? The verse opens with that. So then the thing is, how can we get rid of all that? But we have to remember, all that can be gotten rid of by Nama Bas. Not even Shuddha Nam. Point is Nama Bas will bring you up to liberation. It will get rid of everything. It won't give you prema. right? Because you're not having that focus that prema requires. Right? Shuddha nam will give you prema, because then the focus is on the name. Well, namabhas means, you know, you may be focusing on the name, you may be focusing on a whole lot of other things. Right? So that's the whole point. Is that's not the difficult part. From being in the material world, then we take the removal of karma and jnana and sin as the big, major thing. But actually, that's a minor thing. Developing love for Krishna, that's major. That's significant. Removing sin and all, that's very easy. That's why we come up with so many weirdo ways to figure out how we're going to purify the Vaishnavas from their improper activities. Right? So in other words, they have a distraction of karma and jnana. How will we solve that? Of course, by karma. How else will you solve it? Karma gets results, so we want results, so we're going to get results. But that's this childish mentality. Because the point is only bhakti can purify the living entity. There is no material. Why in the Manasamhita gives a whole chapter dedicated to prayaschitta? One whole chapter.
People want it.
Because people want it. They think that by karma it will happen. Because all throughout, in many places, he says that the way to get purified, the most efficient, is just hearing and chanting the Lord's name and studying scriptures, associating with saintly persons, worshipping the deity. He says that all throughout the work. But because people don't have faith in that, because of this childish mentality, they think that the problem is going to be solved by a particular work. Right? So, the point he says, if people know about something, okay, then you might apply your prayaschitta, but, you know, it doesn't work. But people feel good. Right? But if people don't know, then you don't have to bother with that. You just chant the holy name. That's the whole point. So for Vaishnav, since they know prayaschitta is not of importance, therefore, what's the process? Chanting the holy name. So if somebody actually wants a prayaschitta that's not to do with devotional service, increasing devotional service, that is mundane, 100%. No other reason for it. Because no material activity will remove the desire for sin. No other activity will remove the reactions of sin. You know what I'm saying? They won't. We'll think, oh, if I do this, I can counteract. No. You do this other thing. What is it? It's a good work. So that good work gives you a good result. That's why you see, oh, see, it's changed. You didn't get rid of the bad. You just created good. And if there's good along with bad, you're generally okay. Right? Just like, let's say, for an example, you know, make it practical. Let's say you're in Calcutta, right? In a car. And you're stuck in traffic. Okay? Now, being stuck in traffic, is that good or bad? Very bad. Now, let us say the car has a good AC. Right? So then, you can function. Have you gotten rid of the traffic jam? No, you've just added in the AC. Now, if you're stuck in the traffic jam and there is no AC, yeah, then you might as well get out and walk, right? You feel better, right? No? It'll take you the same amount of time, but you'll feel better. So that's what this concept is doing. You're simply adding in the AC. You don't get rid of the traffic jam. We think, no, but I add in the AC, I won't have a traffic jam. No, the traffic jam's still there. Right? So in Calcutta, it works nicely. But if you're on the M25, you don't need the AC. You're just stuck in traffic, so it doesn't get any better.
If you have internet,
okay. Yeah.
Time flies.
Yeah, as long as you're not the driver. If you're the driver, then you get into it, then people start honking, and that'll annoy you also. Is that sense? So this vatsasura, this childish mentality, mischievous, we have to do something else. Whatever is to be done, we should do the opposite. You know? Mm-hmm. So whatever is said you should do, no, why do I have to do that? You know, we should get up early. No, but why do we have to do that? I have so much service, I can do this and that. Okay, we should go to bed. No, why do I have to do that? You should wear a dog. No, why do I have to do that? You know, you should change. Why do I have to do that? It's always like that. Everything's like that. Yes?
What is the key to not be by prioritization for those who are by nature dependent and somebody of them may not be devoted? When somebody joins, somebody dependent becomes into Krishna consciousness, but somebody above them is not Krishna conscious. By condition, they have to work under them.
The point is, it's dependent upon Krishna. So, what does association mean? Right? So that's given, you can see the key from Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about household life. Right? So in here, he's saying that materialistic association, that's bad. So it's not about the individuals that's husband and wife are associating. It's that if there's an attachment to that association based on sense gratification, that's where the problem is. But if it's a matter of husband and wife perform their duties, then that's convenient because masculine nature, feminine nature, they match very nicely together. And so therefore, then all aspects of one's daily life, one can be taken care of very nicely. Right? Then that's not what it talks about by bad association. Right? So, therefore, then associating with those who are above you by whatever is supposed to be done in the way of service and amount of interaction necessary to understand what's to be done, and then one goes and does that, that's not association. So there is no bad association. So you can have someone in a position, a higher position, who may not be so Krishna conscious, but the activities that they're engaging others in are Krishna conscious. So they can do those duties, they'll advance nicely. The problem will be with the person who's not Krishna conscious. So that's the point. You can be Krishna conscious doing your duties. Is that what it says? Yeah. So then it doesn't matter. You there, but that's why you also then with knowledge then choose association so that you don't have that problem. Or at least to reduce it. You're in the material world, so it's not strange that it'll happen. It's just like in a hospital. Can you demand that no one else in the hospital should be sick? No. So, like that. So it's just that, you know, hospitals where sick people are. So then who's within the movement? Everybody who's sick to some degree. But the whole point is these are the people that want to be cured. Right? That's why they're in the hospital. So they're that's the dynamic step. They're trying to. But if they still are distracted by their own desires, then that happens. Is that something?
Okay. The girl becomes into Krishna consciousness, but she has like father and somebody around about her. They're not Krishna conscious. And then sometimes it's preach, like, only have to leave them. Just leave them because they don't, the devotees don't. But then she comes to Krishna, then nobody takes care of her. Because if the girl, she needs to care.
It just depends upon what kind of girl she is. Right? If she wears black boots and she has a Harley, then go ahead and leave home. You know, you know what I'm saying? It just depends upon her nature. If she needs to be in that home environment, then she just has to be careful how she goes about it. In other words, as Rupa Goswami says, you do all your duties very nicely and everyone's very happy. In other words, choose your moments. Put out the energy so that everybody feels that everything's all right. Then they'll leave you alone. Then in your own room, then you do what you like. Like one girl was telling me from a Muslim family that before she was married, then she, you know, had her a cabinet in her room with doors on it, right? You know, a lower one, you know, like under a desk or something or that kind of thing. And that's where deities were, whole altar was. But then, you know, when she was chanting and that, then she'd close it, and then she would be part of the thing because, you know, it's very difficult to, you know, how you say. Strangely enough, Muslim fathers don't appreciate, you know, Hindu pujas going on in their house, especially by their daughter. You know, so you have to hide it, you know. Like Mirabai, no one ever knew she was a devotee until afterwards when someone read her diary. Right? It doesn't ring a bell, it doesn't have that ring to it, the diary of Mirabai. You know, it is a, you know, so, yeah, but whatever. Yeah. You understand? So that has to be done. At the same time, yeah, at the same time, you have the aspect of the society can be more kind and try to create that facility. But then what's the problem? They may not be happy with society can offer, because the point is let us say now the society can give kind of generic stuff, right? Who gives specific stuff? Right, fathers, husbands, sons, right? You know, so then that's actually what one requires if one wants specifics. And then does the lady ever present that she's fully satisfied or fully happy? No, because otherwise how do you keep the continuity? Because the guys then, as soon as they think she's happy, then they sit back and think that now I've eternally made her happy.
That's not wrong.
Huh?
That's not wrong mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, but strange, they still want the woman to do all the stuff for them, but, you know, because then it should go the other way. Now they're completely satisfied. They've made a woman happy, now they're completely satisfied themselves. They don't need her to do anything for him. He doesn't need to do anything for her. They just go on in this blissful, you know, om sign in the cloud, you know, kind of thing. But no, the man expects he'll get all what he's expecting, but he doesn't have to do anything more for her. So we can see again, this childish mentality. But anyway, that's a different topic. We won't get into that right now. So then that's there. So the society can only give so much, right? And since what's wanted is the unlimited, right? So now the problem is a new girl on the scene. Where is that going to come out of? Because right now you have whatever's there in the society. Who's getting it? Right? Men are getting their, you know, one-tenth, yes. Who's getting out of the nine parts? Right? So now does anybody want to share part of their nine with another lady? Especially they don't know them, they're not in control of them. Right? So then, that's the thing. So we'll say, oh, it's the men, it's this and that. It's, the men would take care of, but the problem is they get all involved and get all stupid. But the women, they're the ones who won't take care. If they will take care, how will they take care? On their terms. So absolute dictatorial terms. So if you have a girl's ashram, who's always in charge of it? This nice, pleasant, all-accommodating, gregarious, you know, elder lady that just, you know, she's so wonderful and nice and all that. No, someone who comes in there like, you know, a drill sergeant, you know. So we see the cliches of the drill sergeant and all that, you know, coming in and yelling and screaming right, you know, in the face of all the guys and all that. And we think this is over the top. That's nothing, you know, because you're only dealing with the one-tenth. I'll let you do the math for what's right? So, that's the difficulty. So that's the whole point, is that's why in the Vedic system the concept of having to focus on taking care of women has to be there, because no one wants to take care of women. The women will say, no, but the women, that they're only interested in themselves. It's not about the other women, because they don't want to share. Remember, I don't know if any was here. It may have been, I'm not sure when it was. It was a long time ago. This whole thing came up about, you know, the equal opportunity and all that. So the women wanted to do the Mangalarti at Prabhupada's Samadhi. You know, that was, it had to be a long time ago when people actually went to the Samadhi Mangalarsa. Really? The Samadhi has a Mangalarsa? Yeah. And so then there was this whole thing, you know, right? And, you know, it's not just, you know, go ask the Pujari and this and that type. No, it has to be an official on the GBC level. You have to make a whole scene like that. Like, say, a guy wants to do the Arctic, does he take it to the GBC? No, you know, it has to be a big thing. So when the GBC said yes, after a whole big riot, and the whole society was commenting on it. Then, what was the next fun? So, the men thought this was the riot. No, the riot started now. Which lady gets to do it? Oh, boy, that was... You know, this one, because she thinks she's the senior most and represents all the women. No, this one, but she's... Oh, boy, it was a whole scene. I'm sure finally they worked it out and no one ever bothered again because it was it was bad. It was a bad experience. You understand? So, does that make sense? So that was... That was... explained, it's been explained to me by the temple president about how his wife deals and about other women, about how the ashram works. You understand? So that's why then if women are protected, everybody then from their birth, then they're being taken care of. So then all those aspects of Krishna consciousness is there. Because outside of the realm of attachment, then basically no one wants to give any facility. So if someone does give that facility, that's rare. To find ladies that are comfortable dealing with girls or other people's girls is extremely rare. We take it, no, this should be the standard, but it's absolutely not the standard. You know, you're attached, you can deal. You're not attached, you can't deal. So it's very rare. And even then, of course, they're going to have to take the leading position of the parental rasa. So is the parent. So the parent, then the child is in the feminine, the parent's in the masculine. So we'll have that, but it will be pleasant and compatible to who you're dealing with. But that can only work if there is no duality. You know, it's just like when you have a child, they go to the father and ask for something, and if they say no, what do they do next? Go to the mother, or the vice versa, right? And so they play off of both sides. And what happens in that? Child gets what they want, but what happens in the relationship with the parents? He gets, huh? It's a conflict, yeah. So, if the student thinks they can do that between their parents and the teacher, you know, they have that more materialistic kind of thing or more mischievous aspect, they'll do that. And then it'll be thought, oh, it's the school or it's the parents, but it's actually the child. You know what I'm saying? Because the child should be respectful to both. So you're dealing with some very, very deep, you know, what is it, you know, lust, anger, greed, attachment, illusion, madness, and envy issues here. But by Maya, it's being covered so it doesn't look like that. Does that make sense? So it's just, that's the reality. Right? You know, it's just like women are bad, right? Men attached to them are worse. Right? Does that make sense? So, men deal with women bad, but women deal with women way worse. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem you're dealing with. So unless there's the culture, unless people follow the duties that are given by Scripture, it becomes very hard to work these things out. So that's why in the Vedic system, then it was seen that the girl is married at a younger age. Like that. So then it worked out very nicely for her. Right? And at the younger age, they also have, let us say, okay, the teenage girl, something annoys her. How easily can it be corrected? Right? Quite easily. Right? but give that woman another 15 years and another 15 boyfriends, now how long does it take? Is it actually possible to really correct it? No, because she doesn't have faith. You understand? That's why in the Vedic system, you put a couple together when the girl is in her teens, early, especially early teens, but in the teens, then it's so much easier to work things out. So that means in those few years that they don't know what they're doing, they'll work it out because they're still kids. But the modern thing is, no, you have to have this, you know, real love is where it just rips your heart apart and you kill each other and all that, and that's the real thing. They don't actually understand. I remember my parents calling it puppy love. That's not, it's not real. They were completely convinced it's not real. But actually, that's more real than what they were feeling. Theirs was just pure unbridled attachment. Well, the other one, it's, it has that, but there's that relationship. That's why it doesn't seem so much. So you're dealing with some very, very heavy issues that the West has zero ability to deal with. I mean, zero is being nice. You know, probably, you know, negative 1,008 would be more appropriate. But they just have no idea. Because now and again, people do come up with it. I don't know if anybody remembers, the book came out, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago or something, 20 years ago. It was a bestseller at one time, very big, but you didn't hear about it for long. It was written by this one lady, and that, called The Submissive Wife. She just one day, their family was falling apart. I'm not sure. She was talking to some old lady or something, you know, one of these, you know, born before World War I kind of, you know, ladies and all that, old babushkas. And she said something, and then it clicked. And then she tried it, and she found it worked like a charm. You know, she gave an example. You're driving down the highway. You're supposed to turn off at, you know, whatever it is, you know, turn 47, like that. And the husband mixes it. Right? So now what's the standard thing to do? Yeah, yell, scream, grumpy, this, that, you always do this, this, that, go on and 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 on. Even when he does turn around and gets on, finally back on the thing and that, you still go on, and then every time you bring it up, regular. So then she thought, what if I don't do that? She didn't. Right? And then it went nice. And so she found all these different things. She just did this, and it went nice. So the book was a hit. It was the biggest thing going on at the time. It was number one. It was this. Everyone was talking about it. But very soon, you didn't hear them talking about it anymore. Why not? Because you needed a sequel book, you know, about, you know, how the man should step up to the plate and be a mensch. Right? So, she does like that. He felt empowered, so therefore he kind of took the role, but then he becomes proud of that and sits back and thinks, now she'll just do everything and she'll be this fabulous person. I don't have to put in the effort. And then it all falls apart, and then the women just dropped it. So the whole point is the karmis now and again figure out something, you know, or they're, what was it, the big thing? You don't hear about it now. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, or whatever it is, or guys are from Pluto, and women are from Pleiades, or, you know, like this, whatever. But you don't hear about it anymore. The guy did come out with a second book, but it didn't make a big splash. Right? You know, so it's a big thing because there's something, but the problem is because it's only techniques, it's not actually an understanding. It disappears. So it's a technique, not a culture. So the Vedic system is, that's why the culture is so important. But because of the childless, mischievous mentality, women fight this tooth and nail. You know? And that's on a good day. I'd throw in a flamethrower also. You know? You know what I'm saying? You can't even have a discussion. If you say the wrong word, that's it. But it's just child, because where is it coming from? Is it there in the Vedas? Is that Mother Jashoda? She's good association. Draupadi, you know, Kunti, any of these big-time ladies that, you know, like this. No, it's not that. It's some feminist, atheistic person who said, some journalist, some other person like that, some newscaster, total atheists. And then we're elevating them to that position. So this is the whole point. easily influenced by bad association. How are you influenced by bad association unless you elevate them to some position of value? If you don't, then you just interact how much needs to be done. That's not called association. But when you respect the other person, that's why in Manu, it's interesting. It seems contradictory. But at one point, he says, one does, he's talking about a Brahmin, and Brahmins then, you know, or any Dweeja, especially it was about a Brahmin, that he, in his performance of duties, has to do things with people that aren't necessarily very cultured. They may be outcasts. So he says, by sitting on the same bench with them, by being at the same meal, by being all these different things, you are not polluted. You're not contaminated. Right? If that has to be done. Like sometimes devotees ask, but, you know, for business, you have to go out, you know, to dinner, you have to go out, all these things. Isn't that bad association? No, because it's just something you have to do because of the job. So it's not considered bad association. It's just part of the occupation. It's one of the things to do. You know, maybe you have a mocktail and they don't. You know, but whatever it is, it goes on. As you put in the effort, you put in whatever needs to be done. You're pleasant, you're nice, you do whatever is expected. Right? And Manu says very clearly, you are not, that's not bad association, you don't get fallen. But then sometime later, he says exactly the opposite, seemingly. He says that by just doing things together, eating together, doing all these things together, then you are considered an outcast. What's the difference? Because it's not the activity, it's the mentality. So if you elevate them to a position of, you know, specialness, that there's something to gain from them, then by associating with low-class people, then it is bad association. Right? But if it's just a matter of, you know, this is what needs to be done, right, then it's not bad association. Right? You know, you get in the airplane, you fly, you're coming to Mayapur and all that, the whole plane, is it all devotees? You know, it's a good chance none of them are devotees. Right? Because if you'll notice, then you're going to Calcutta, then most of them are Bengalis, and what are they ordering? Are they, any of them are vegetarian? Not one. Right? So the whole point is where's the good association? Right? But you're not. You're just sitting there and behaving and interacting appropriately for the situation. Right? Is that okay? Yeah. Yes.
I was thinking that point Srila Prabhupada makes very strongly, that the girl is always protected by father, the husband, or the brother. And then we see in traditional society, she had all those figures, and at once. So from all sides, she was protected and
yes,
feeling very comfortable.
Yes.
But nowadays, in many cases, we see there's a daughter in the mother. So there's not even one figure like that. So
yeah. For neither of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he explains a lot, you know, how the whole thing
yeah
happened.
Because it's not valued, it's not seen as important. So the men don't step up and the women don't have that faith. So, you know, this whole idea of being independent, nice, but the point is that that's okay for facility. But what about relationship? Because they'll say independent all they like, but then they're going to have some close friends. You know what I'm saying? And most likely they're always complaining in that that's the basis of the friendship. You know? So it's just the modern has no concept. If there is any, it's all old school, religious, this and that, all things that the modern man doesn't want to hear. In the Vedic, like we said before, in the Vedic system, who is a brother? Right? The biological brother, a brother who is a stepbrother is a brother, a cousin's a brother, someone from the same village is a brother, someone from the same community or same area, same nation. They're all brothers. Right? And so father is the same thing. Anybody in there who takes care, who feeds, who protects, who this and that. So biological is one of them. So even in there, she has her own father, but there'll be uncles, there'll be other family friends who will deal with her also, like a father. And she'll have other women in the community deal with her like mother. And then she has, you know, that whole range of brothers. Right? And then all the little kids are like sons. So you do have that, those are in place, and then you have all that other along with it. So that's where you see the major difference. It's because of all that other, that's why the main ones are there. Well, in the modern, it's no. It's like, you know, what is it? That whole major thing in the West that, how you say? Men can't be friends with women. Right? You know, it's a major theme. But the whole point is, it just depends upon what's the mood, what's the relationship. So it's not based on relationship. It's just based on the masculine, feminine aspect of what do you call it? Sensuality. So if that's all that's seen, one always has to be careful of that, of course. But the point is that if it's always careful and is kept in a formal environment, then it can be maintained. So that's the thing, is you do have that aspect. Because technically, if they are friends, then what it is the boy takes care of the girl, like in the parental Ross, the girl takes care of the boy, like in parental Ross. They never are actually equal. They're equal in that they both take care of each other. Then that works. Because then it's like a parental Ross towards each other, but it doesn't have the formality, so it's like a friendship. Okay. Does that make sense? Well, if it's with the same, then one will be senior, one will be junior, if you have that in the friendship Ross, or they can be equals. Okay. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's. Does that make sense? So in other words, then one has to find whatever is the best situation, and in the material world, situations may be good, may be not good. But the point is if one, you have to balance between being Krishna conscious and the situation you're in. So if the situation is not ideal, but you can be Krishna conscious, more than a more ideal situation that's not Krishna conscious, and you can deal with that, then better to take advantage of the Krishna conscious, even though it's not culturally as ideal. Right? But if one can't handle that, then better to be in the better cultural situation, then the feminine nature will be more peaceful, and then within that you use your cleverness to be Krishna conscious. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Okay.
According to
Kirtisamata. Okay. Okay, yeah, no, we'll get to that. So this childish mentality, the mischievous, too easily influenced by bad association, what will that bring about? Then it gives rise to a type of greediness for sense gratification, through which one becomes absorbed. So, in other words, it will just bring you down. Even if you're in a good situation, it will bring you down. So if you put too much on it, then we're talking about, you know, how you say all the modern rights and facilities and everything like that, you know, the rights of the people, the obligation of authority, you know, the rights of the people, the obligation of the Vedic culture, the rights of the people, the you know, obligation of anybody who's in any kind of leadership or position, you know. Does that make sense? In other words, the rights of me as a person, the obligation of the gurus, the sannyasis, the temple presidents, you know, anybody. You understand the problem here? Because where's my obligation? I don't have any because I'm childish and mischievous. So there isn't any. And because of this, one can't see it. So one makes this mistake. So that, then you're associated by bad association, because bad association is going to give you what you want. But it's not necessarily what you need. You know, it's like, that's the difference. So that's then what is being brought out, is that creates a type of greediness, because now there's an opportunity to get something that you actually don't need. You know, it's one thing that the householder, they have a business, and then they're making money, and they get greedy and make more money, but it's something he's supposed to be doing anyway. So then we just call it greed. But here we say it's something you don't need, you shouldn't have, it's not supposed to be, but you want it anyway. So that's the kind of greediness. So that's why one has to be. And from that one becomes absorbed. So when we elevate the materialists up to a position of saintliness, that they have something good to say, something to offer, our society can learn a lot from them and all this and that, then at that time you put yourself up for bad association from them and anybody who's following them. And then what does that do? That gives greediness. I could get this, I could get that. It doesn't matter what you get, you want more and more and more. And then when we become absorbed materialism. Right? So that's what's happening. That's why we don't look, why do we need to look to everybody else for as an example? We have so many examples. The Bhagavatam is full of examples. That's why the Purana is used as the main literature in the Kali Yuga, because it gives example. Right? The Upanishads don't so much. Right? Does that make sense? So in the Puranas, you can do what they're doing. In the Upanishads, you take the principles of what they're doing and do that. You can't do what they're doing. Right? Nachiketas, then by the grace of Indra, gets the thunderbolt, and then he can dig a hole through the earth to get down to Nagaloka, where then, he can try to get the earrings back from Takshika that he stole, that he shouldn't have, that were the dakshin for his... the wife of his guru, but because he's not giving them back, he's hid himself in the, in the city, the fortress there. So therefore, by blowing in the nose of the horse that came along with him, who happens to be Indra also, and so then he can, that blowing in there, no, actually, is it Indra? No, it's Agni. Therefore, it creates so much smoke that the whole city is choked. None of the Nagas can breathe. And so then they all tell Takshika, you better go out there and get back the earrings, otherwise we're all going to be killed. And so then Takshika comes back out and gives the earrings. Is this a story that you can follow? No. In principle, trying to get done what your guru wants done, yes, you do. But you can see it's quite extreme. Now, within the Puranas, then they have stories of things you can do, though they use the most extreme examples of what you can do, just so that you don't say, oh, it's not like, that doesn't, my situation is worse. Right? Yeah, I'm having family problems, like that, so, yeah, but just like Yudhishthira Maharaj, what's his family situation compared to mine? Me and my two siblings like that, and we're fighting over who gets the Play-Doh or something, like that, so like that. The fighting of the emperors of the world, fighting of the whole thing. It's not over who gets half and half, it's who gets everything and who gets nothing. Like that, right? And in the fight then, my best friend got upset and this and that. Yudhishthira, 640 million people died. You understand? So that's the whole thing, is that it's Purana is the one. So that's then why it's given. So then we have perfect examples for everything we need in our life. And that's why then Chaitanya Charitamrita is there, because then it shows as Gaudiya's how we would apply it. Right? Otherwise we would say, this doesn't apply to me. How can I be a leader according to the Purana? It says they're not going to give me a sword and a crown, so how can I be in a kshatriya position and, stuff like that. Okay. So then by this story, then, we get freed from this kind of mentality. That's the whole idea. According to the Garga Samhita, in his last birth, he had been a demon, Pramila, the son of Mudu. He conquered the demigods in battle and then entered the sage Vasishtha's ashram and saw Vasishtha's cow named Nandini. Everyone goes for the cow, right? Pramila wanted that cow, so he disguised himself as a brahmana and tried to beg her. The cow spoke and said, "You are a demon in disguise. For this offense, you will have to appear as a calf." Pramila then surrendered to Vashishta and begged for mercy. And Vashishta said that after taking birth as a calf, he would be liberated by the Lord. So then, yeah, it all works out nice. Right? So, moral of the story, don't take Vashishta's cow. A lot of people have tried this. It's always worked out bad.
But this offense is not that big. He tried.
Oh, I see. I thought you were talking about the Vatsasura thing. No, but the point is that mentality comes as this. This childish mentality, in that it just leaves one open to bad associations.
Because I was comparing to Nakula, Nalakubara, and Madhigriva, because they were disrespectful, basically, and couldn't care less.
Yeah, but what happens when, of all the sins that there is, what are the five main sins? Yeah, kill a Brahmin. You know, how you say, steal from a Brahmin. You know, like this. So they're just walking around naked and being stupid. So it's not actually a big offense.
So now we take it just the opposite.
Yeah. You know, because, you know, what, you know, if he's a real Brahmin, why does he need anything anybody? You know? Yeah. No, that's, you understand? That's because of the position you've heard crusades come up to protect the children, protect the women, you know, or rights for the children, rights for the women. I shouldn't say protect, because that would be incorrect to say. Nowadays you hear about old people like that, you know, like that. Cows, and there's always been that. Have you ever heard anybody talking about protecting Brahmins?
It's hard because everybody is a Brahmin.
Yes, but we're talking about those who occupationally are Brahmins. You know, who act in that capacity. That is how they maintain themselves. No, never. Because that's authority. And the modern thing is always anti-authority. It means authority other than ourselves, of course. It means our own self is authority, and then that's it. You know, so therefore it won't be considered in the modern context actually bad. Yes.
Is this offense connected to not understanding the Savashya principle?
Okay. Yeah, that'd be a nice way to do it. Yeah, but it's just they become greedy. They can see because of his childish mentality, he thinks he can get that from the cow. He's mischievous, so therefore he takes that form, as you know, hides himself as a Brahmin. And then, you know, he's got a greediness for something that he shouldn't have, because why would he use the cow? Vashishta's using it because he does yajnas every day. Therefore, the Nandini will provide everything necessary for the yajna. But he'll want it just who knows what for.
And it's not his portion.
So like that. So you see is that his mentality matches this Vatsasura. That's why it represents. So that's why in the Vedic thing it's so exact, that they can see the mentality and then accordingly then give the punishment. Okay. But then from it, then Vashishta is very kind, so he goes through this, and Nandini is the one who gives the curse, and so then, but he'll end up as, you know, being liberated by Krishna.
And achieving what? Because and Nalakubara and Manigriva, when they were liberated, they went back to their own position. Now, when he gets liberated by Krishna, where does he go? Comes from you again?
No. Because from the liberated position, because see, the Nalakubara and Manigriva, they, you know, had a position as demigods, which is a devotional position. But they got distracted from that by Narad Muni's grace. They came back to that, the proper consciousness, but higher than before, so they could continue in their service. While he didn't have any service at any time before this. So then from the liberated position, then when he gets liberated, he'll get purified there. Then from that position, they'll be able to appreciate the service for the Lord because they're liberated now, so they can look, analyze things properly. Then they'll take up a position of residence in Vaikuntha. So all the demons eventually get to Vaikuntha. It's just a matter of time. So depending upon, it means it's been explained when it was Shishupal, and I think someone else, that is that position happened, but that's how it works for all the demons.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatai Gaurav Devanandini.